Thank you to the sponsor of today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world. Taking place in the world known as Tamaris, team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction. Arrange your city as you see fit, and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle with a variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Tamaris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder rocks, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. And please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magical artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Tamaris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra, and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack. Set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So, if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So, are you guys aware of this new trend in cinema?
Cinema.
The art of cinema. Where it's a new genre, really.
And I love it.
It's the corporate biopic.
Oh, that's hot. Yeah, that's super hot right now.
So hot.
It was the McDonald's biopic kind of launched it, right? And now we have like a...
I guess it was the founder, right? Because Lisa was like, well, this is the great man. But there's like Steve Jobs and stuff too before that.
Yeah.
But those are still biopics about a person. But now we have, well, we have the Nike one.
Yep.
So we have Air.
We have Air, which is sort of about a product, right? It's not so much about a, it is about a company, but it is also about a product. And then we have BlackBerry. BlackBerry, I heard, is good. That's the, did you guys know this? That's the Nirvana, the band, the show guy.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh.
He directed that.
Well, good for him. Yeah. I've only ever seen their Wii Shopping sketch music.
They've got some killer stuff. You should check out more of their sketches.
Okay. All right.
I feel like Air is also trying to trick you into thinking it's a Michael Jordan biopic as well.
Yes. It's like, he's going to be in it, guys. You're going to see MJ.
I think someone is playing Michael Jordan in it, but you think like, oh, you're gonna hope that Michael Jordan himself will
he'll do a weird Al thing and he'll be in it as another character.
Yeah.
He plays, like, you know, it'd be the best one. He plays the usher from the Bulls games that he always gambled with, that, like, old little white man.
The guy who does the cute shrug after he beats him in that coin game they play.
Yeah, he's gambling. I'm just like, can you get the quarter closer? Jesus, Michael, how bad is your gambling addiction? What are you doing?
Dude, he was wild. I think about that man's shrug all the time. It is the most, he has defeated one of the greatest sports people of all time at a game that this greatest sports player of all time loves. And he just shrugs in a way that's so nonchalant. It's beautiful.
So yeah. So we got Air, we got Blackberry,
mm-hmm.
we got Tetris.
Oh, that's right, Tetris. Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, I guess there was an interesting story there. I didn't get the sense there was so much political intrigue on making Tetris, but what do I know?
Unfortunately, sometimes stories behind corporations are a little bit interesting. Like, it is interesting to hear about these things that control our lives. And unfortunately, that also promotes the brand.
Kevin, how dare you? Well, I would counter that. I mean, yes, I agree. Sometimes there are interesting stories.
Sure.
But also, there has been a, like, there's the Hot Cheetos biopic coming
what?
Up.
What?
Just Hot Cheetos?
I think it's just Hot Cheetos based on the myth of at some point, you know, someone who worked at a factory took that idea of putting cayenne pepper on things and they put it on the Cheetos and success, baby. But like, I don't think that's true. I don't think that happened. I think that's I think it's become out that that was just made up by Cheetos.
Are you saying biopics have to be true? Because I've got, I think they might not all be true, Chad. I think they might be a funny advertisement for a thing. Like, Japan has been doing this for a while. There's a whole anime that's just an advertisement for the Honda Super Cub about a sad girl who rides a Honda Super Cub.
I mean, that sounds more fun.
It's great. I watched all of it, and I already own the Honda Super Cub, and I'm like, this is an amazing advertisement.
Is there a fantastical element to the Honda Super Cub? Not this podcast, not sponsored by the Honda Super Cub.
The fantastical element is her parents are dead, and she's lonely, and she gets a Super Cub, and it turns her life around.
Okay, so, but see, maybe if it was anime, that would solve all of these. Did you know Jerry Seinfeld's doing a Pop-Tart movie about Pop-Tarts?
Okay, this is too far. That's too far.
That's the one that crosses the bridge for you.
Listen, I don't like corporations. I do depend on Pop-Tarts. And
but do you need to see an hour and a half movie about a guy going, what if I put a pastry in the toaster? I don't believe in you. Wendell, your job will never work. This will never happen, Wendell.
When the times get tough, I know I can lean on Pop-Tarts. That's all I know.
Yeah. I think if these were only trailers, like if these were like 5-minute, like live in your head experimental cinema that just explored the idea of what if we lived in a world where people were interested in Pop-Tarts and their story, that would be more appealing to me. And that's probably where they'll stay. Like, I'm never going to watch these things. I've only seen 12 movies. And at this point, I don't think I can add a 13.
No.
You'd have to watch two in a row. Get past 13 real quick.
We all agree that the Goosebumps movie is on a collision course with our eyeballs about, you know, the making of Goosebumps as a series. And Timothy Chalamet has been tapped to play R.L. Stein.
Young R.L. Stein, asthma-ridden, forced to stuck it, say, indoors, staring out his window at kids and going, maybe I'll
they
write a story.
They couldn't find anyone that was frail enough that was also healthy enough to make a whole movie.
So someone beat the shit out of and shaved Timothy Chalamet.
It needs to be a kid who's naturally bald, like KG in the Tenacious D movie or whatever. He was just born bald.
I can't believe they found that kid who was born bald.
It was really cool that they found that. Well, Kevin, you actually answered the question I was going to ask you both of what product biopic do you want to see? Kevin, it sounds like you're saying Goosebumps.
Well, I feel like it's on brand for me to say Goosebumps, but I also just think Timothy Chalamet as R.L. Stein is really fucking funny.
Can they stop? There's other young actors than Timothy Chalamet, Hollywood. You don't have to put him in everything.
But listen, the more young roles that Timothy Chalamet like takes on, the more he's protecting like other young actors from Hollywood.
That's a good point. Oh. I think that Timothy Chalamet is tanking. I think he is tanking for all young. He's opening up the pit of movies and being like, get in there. I'm going to hold back the big boys that are trying to hurt you. Go dance, little guys.
I'll tank all of the emotional damage that comes from being in the Hollywood entertainment industry.
There are beautiful young men out there who are now becoming accountants and real estate agents with stable lives and self-esteem.
God bless you, Timothy Chalamet.
Thank you, Timmy. Thank you, Timmy Chal.
Some kid was going to be Flounder in that Little Mermaid movie, and Timothy's like, not today. I'll save you.
No.
Put me on that poster instead. I'll take it. Put
is
me on the cross.
Is he Flounder?
Yeah, he's Flounder. That stupid movie.
Wow. Okay.
Have you guys heard the new Kiss the Girl song replacement? It is fantastic.
What are you talking about?
Awkwafina does a rap as a bird, and it's clearly written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, it's a blast. Can't wait for that to come out.
I love that Lin-Manuel Miranda has become the court singer for Disney.
I like his stuff, but yeah, it feels that way now for Disney.
I agree with that sentiment, Chad. I also like his stuff, but I am like,
You know what? Get paid, though, bro. Get paid. Whatever.
The Flight of the Conchords guys had their shot, and then they're like, maybe we'll do other things.
Uh-huh.
I want them to be more. I still think...
I love their stuff. I love the Flight of the Conchords guys stuff.
I still attest that the main reason the Jason Segel Muppets movie is as good as it is 90%. Brett's songs.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, those
are
fantastic.
Out of that movie, that movie's not as strong as you think.
Mm-hmm. That's why the second half of the movie isn't as strong, because that's where all the songs are in the first half.
Yeah. I think it does a lot of heavy lifting. Paul, what's your biopic, corporate biopic bootlicker movie that you
want
to see?
Oh my God, you want... I was hoping to avoid this. I don't know.
I'm looking around my...
what are things in my life that I want to see?
Kevin, I was mentally doing that. I was going through my fridge, and I was like, I don't know, Oatly. I'll go for some oat milk. The oat milk story, please.
You'll never make a milk out of oats. Just stop the dream. It's not going to happen.
I love tenacious freaks that'll make food out of anything. That's what I
want
to say.
I want a biopic about hard cider.
Just the first hard cider ever.
Woodchuck's hard cider. I would love to know. Where did Woodchuck's hard cider come from, and where did it go?
It kind of started cider back up again. It was useful. I won't really... It's a little too sweet for me. I won't really buy a Woodchuck.
I was not crazy. Well, I liked it when I was younger and didn't like drinking things that, you know, were regular beer. But yeah. You're right. It created a foothold. It was like it gave all other cider a chance to claw its way up out of the...
I was not aware of this paragon of ciders.
Oh, was that a pear cider punch?
Fucking nice.
Yes, that's totally what I meant to do.
Before the accusations start coming in, I'm not drinking during this podcast anything but filtered tap water. There's just a book about cider on my bookshelf right now that I'm looking at. So it's called Cider Hard and Sweet.
Here's my question, though. Where the fuck did Woodchuck Cider go? I haven't seen it. It got pushed out.
Angry Orchard kind of runs the show in the Sam Adams belt. So I think Angry Orchard probably pushed it out.
I think you're right. You know what it did? You know what it really did? It Timothy Chalamet for all the other ciders.
Yeah. It took that bullet.
It was too sweet. It was not great, but it was being itself. And America loved it. And it opened up a lot of space for a lot of other ciders to be themselves and to find their people.
God bless you to the Timothy Chalamet and Woodchuck Hard Cider.
Swim on, little flounder. You and your David Diggs lobster. You keep going.
Hey, welcome to Goosebuds.
Welcome to Goosebuds.
Hi.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Chad.
I'm Paul.
And this is a podcast where we read the works of R.L. Stine and other 90s YA books and give them the hard-hitting critiques they deserve. Today, we are reading Goosebumps 2000's Slappy's Wet Dream, Slappy's Nightmare.
Chad!
Sorry, Chad, getting us an adult rating, but that cover, man, that cover is implying nocturnal emissions if you're telling me anything.
Did you see on the Goosebumps wiki Tim Jacobus's like pose for the cover? Like
I loved it. Yeah, he's modeling that Tim Jacobus's pose, not as orgasmic. That Slappy on the cover, orgasmic.
Listen, some puppets gotta come.
That's the new tagline for our show, Puppets Gotta Come.
That's why Slappy's so angry all the time, is because he can't get a good one in.
Tim Jacobus's hair is voluminous in that picture. What Vidal Sassoon-ass regimen is Jacobus on in that? It's beautiful.
He looks so. I wish I had a head of hair like him. I wish I had his life.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Slappy's nightmare.
Oh, guys! Holy shit! Who's playing Tim Jacobus in the Goosebumps corporate movie? I'm gonna say Jason Segel with a wig.
Wow. Okay.
I was gonna go like Tony Hale.
That's too good. That's too good of a casting choice, Chad. They won't do that unless the guy from Nirvana, the band, the show, directs it.
Okay, I'm looking at photos of modern day Tim Jacobus. He looks nothing like that photo. He has short hair. He looks like a military dad now.
Folks change their hair, Chad.
I would now cast who's Biff from Back to the Future? What's his name?
I don't remember that actor's name, but I know
I should know. He was in Trollhunters. I just can't place it.
Wow, Chad, I'm gonna have to edit around you disrespecting Trollhunters.
His name is Thomas F. Wilson.
Tom Wilson. Yes, I feel like Tom Wilson is Tim Jacobus now. I that's my casting.
That's pretty cool. I love it. That's pretty cool. I feel like he'd have a nice like antagonistic energy to go opposite of Timothy
he
Chalamet.
He just bullies RL like he did, like Biff did to McFly. And then
he comes up with a title, he draws the picture, and he's like, right, bitch.
And then they have like an RRR scene where they become friends.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh,
I love that. Now see, that movie sounds great. I love this idea of this biopic movie.
If you can't tell by the extended intro here, the book's not very good this week.
Slappy's Nightmare, according to the Goosebumps fandom wiki, which I feel like I don't even want to give fandom a shout out, by the way, because they've been like buying
all the
websites.
I hate fandom so much.
I hate it.
They're up there with there's three things I hate on the internet, and only three.
Wow.
Are you ready for my three hates? Fandom.
Wow.
And a subsect of fandom is the second hate, and it's that fandom puts pictures on their website and protects them in a way that when you try to download them, you cannot use them, even though
are they web peas?
They're like web peas, and they're, dude, you don't even own that cover, fandom. You just fucking downloaded it and uploaded it and then fucking put it as a web pea, you piece of shit.
Web peas are the worst format.
Oh my god, I hate web peas. And then I hate a fake PNG with a fake transparency. Oh my goodness.
There's got to be a plugin that like auto converts a web pea to a PNG. Like someone's got to be hard at work on that.
Here's what I do. I screen grab it and then I just paste it into Photoshop and then it's done. Game over.
Yeah, that's right. But that extra level of conversion they're making us do is absurd.
It's infuriating.
So Paul's three hates, two of the three hates are really just about image formats.
They're all about image. All three of them are. Fandom is only hated because of it being the purveyor of the second hate.
But also, didn't fandom like buy out like game facts or more of like the message board ones, so now the only place to go for any of this stuff is like awful fandom wiki pages?
Yes.
On the fandom wiki page, the reason why I mentioned it in the details for Slappy's Nightmare, I think this is important. Currently, okay, this remains the only book featuring Slappy that has yet to receive a classic Goosebumps reprint.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think he wants to let it die, and I think he should.
I mean, I think that gives this book a special bullet point, which it desperately needs, because there's really not much going on here. This is a third-person Goosebumps book, which is not very common.
Mm-mm. Yep. Hints of ghostwritten. Yep.
Smacks of ghostwriting. So another thing about a weird coinkydink with our three legally obtained copies is we all somehow got the UK version of this.
Yeah. It was cheaper to ship them from the UK than get them from the
yeah,
US.
That's what it was.
So I was convinced that like this had like been ghostwritten by a British author and like Scholastic really let it slip past the goalie, and like I thought I had RL dead to rights on this one.
Yeah, I feel sorry because you definitely, you were like, you had him dead to rights. That's all there is to say. But I had to chime in,
yeah,
like the brainiac that I am, and say, oh man, I just read Crisp Packets and Sweets Wrappers, and Mum is being used. Guys, I think we got the UK version.
Yep, and I was like, ah, dang, we did.
You know what? At least it made something interesting happen in the book, which is I learned about weird words that the British people use that we don't use.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
I mean, there's like things that happen in this book. It's just not good.
Yeah, here's the first thing that happens in this book. It begins with theater as recurring fan favorite Goosebumps character Jimmy O. James appears.
Jimmy O. James.
Last scene in Slappy, Bride of Slappy,
yep.
or
yep,
Slappy Does one. Dallas, yeah. And
yep.
So stupid.
Oh my!
It's dumb.
All this wet dream talk, Kevin. Randy,
Chad opened the door. All right.
No, Slappy opened the door. By jizzing in his sheets. Sorry.
We gotta rate this one CT.
I bet it's like pine sap.
This is definitely a CT episode.
Do you guys want to explain what CT is?
It's a continued joke rated CT for cum talk.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Just make sure we're all on the same page.
All right. Okay. We can do this, guys. All right. So Jimmy O'James about to go on stage with Slappy, the cursed puppet. This book kind of assumes we're pretty up to speed with Slappy.
Yeah.
We get on stage and Slappy, like, assaults a kid.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. I mean, he gets up there and it's the classic Slappy bit. Slappy is, he's just taking him to
the
task.
Classic Slappy bit.
He's got a switch out and he's fucking taking Jimmy O'James to town. He's whipping him.
And Jimmy O'James just has such fragile self-esteem and the kids, like, are just like, wow. We do not like Triumph for the Insult Comic Duck.
Well, at first they like it. At first they're like, give it to him, Slappy. Tear him up.
And the soup joke is legit pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. There are a couple of there are a couple of rippers at the start of this one.
You know, this is RL, you know.
He's being jovial.
Yeah, he's being jovial. He's a jokester by trade.
He's a jokester.
Old jovial Bob Stud.
He loses the crowd, though. Slappy loses the crowd because he goes a little too blue, a little too deep.
No Jeff Dunham here.
No. He loses the crowd. When you're losing a bunch of kids, with your abusive jokes, you know you've really gone down a dark path. And so instead, smartly, Jimmy O'James is like, let's do some crowd work, which is what you always do when you're losing the crowd.
And he's like, who wants to come up on stage? And no one raises their hand. He's like, I've got a special prize for anyone who wants to come up on stage. And like one kid comes up and immediately Slappy just like...
He bites him.
He Mike Tyson.
He Tyson's his ear. Yeah. And he holds on to it. He's got a vice grip on there.
The bite of 87 for Five Nights at Freddy's fans. Yeah, sort of, I don't know. I'm sorry. Just trying to make it.
Chad, why do you know that? Chad, why do you know that?
Because I read the wiki to try to understand the possibly interesting lore of Five Nights at Freddy's, and wouldn't you know it, the lore fucking sucks.
Chad, you know what I love about you? You have hope for every game and movie and world's lore. You have the most sincere hope that it'll be good. And I love that about you.
I love it when Chad pretends like we live in a meritocracy. It's always very funny for me.
Maybe the good ideals will rise to the surface. And
he's always looking for it. He's always looking for that. We're not in a truly random universe.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Love you too, Chad. Keep the hope alive, please.
Thank you.
So Slappy's bite is interrupted. Eventually he gives up as people begin to rush the stage, and then kids are trying to flee, and pandemonium is unleashed. And then you said that we have to have knowledge of Slappy, but I don't know that this has ever been in any of the other books, but Slappy has a power of the voice in this one.
Oh, yeah, he gets a new AOE.
He has an AOE power of the voice.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
He has a scream power. He unleashes like a siren.
He has a banshee scream. You don't remember it?
Oh, sorry, I don't know why. Yeah, okay.
This is not a bit. We have bitted before. About things that did not exist. This is not a bit. He has the power of the voice. And he hurts everyone in the room so badly that someone screams, "My ears! It feels like there's knives in my ears!"
Yeah, and all the kids like are like, oh shit, it's a DPS race right now. And they're trying to hit Slappy, but his evade is too high because they haven't been using their debuffs and they just can't get him down.
Amazing.
God, I thought the sonic scream never comes up again.
Never comes up. He could have used it so many times in this book. the cooldown is way longer. It's too long.
Yeah, it's a daily. It's not even a daily. It's like a weekly.
It's like a fortnightly. Yeah.
And Jimmy O'James had said repeatedly before this off stage, this was Slappy's last chance.
Yeah, he blew it.
He blew it. He did the Sonic. He did it. He had to do his Sonic AoE, and the raid's over, and they go backstage, and Jimmy's like, "What the hell was that?" And Slappy's like, "I'm evil. I'm a bad puppet.
I'm an iconic IP." He says.
I'm going to kill you, Jimmy O. James.
He does threaten to kill him, and Jimmy O. James says that he's off the team. He's no longer a part of the show. And this is a confounding line that I had to write down. Slappy says, and you wouldn't know a good joke if you heard one, which you never have. Even though Slappy tells and writes all of the jokes during the show, so in a sense, he is self-burning himself.
Yeah, I mean, this book seeks to give you a more complex view of Slappy, and you have to know that a lot of Slappy's hatred starts with himself.
Wow,
you know,
wow, you're right. Wow, that's true.
Yeah. Also, there's a little bug or something inside him from book two. You haven't addressed that in a while.
Oh yeah, the little bug guy. What was that all about?
A little bug in there.
Is that real?
Yeah, he's got a little bug.
Okay, neat. Doesn't come up in this one, but yeah, that's cool.
Maybe that's where the scream came from. Maybe this bug needed the scream.
Am I crazy? There's like a little bug. Anyway, sorry, please go ahead.
Slappy also takes offense at being called evil. Like when Jimmy or James mentions the evil toy maker that made Slappy. Slappy's like, well, you don't have to say evil. Slappy, did we hurt your feelings?
I think we're plumbing. I think you're right. I think you're onto something with the self-hate thing, especially with where this suddenly goes. He's looking at a mirror reflection of himself in this whole book, because Jimmy reveals that he has a plan to move on from Slappy. He opens a crate, and in the crate is another Slappy, an identical twin made by the evil sorcerer that made Slappy.
And the twin's name is Wally.
Oh, yeah. Also, do you guys have any questions about, like, where did that come from? Like, I mean, just, I don't know, you order it on a catalog?
I have more questions at the end of the book, which we'll get to, Chad, but yeah, it is related
there's
that.
There's so many things, yeah.
We've done evil catalog before, so that, I think, does make the most sense.
It tracks.
And evil catalog is pretty fun.
It's definitely a book that was written by RL at some point. It might not have ever made it out, but it's in the Goosebumps-averse. Sure.
There was that witch who like took out an ad, right? For like,
that's right. That's recent.
Yeah, I guess the local classifieds are a pretty spooky place.
Look forward to RL's upcoming book about Facebook Marketplace.
They want me to drive to them is the title.
Do the sisters show up at this point?
Yeah. What are these sisters about?
So he threatens Slappy. Slappy begins to beat the shit out of him. He so hard.
Just really mess him up.
Really messes him. First he takes the carbon copy Slappy, rips its head off, pops its head right off. And then he says, and now I'm coming for you, Jimmy O. James. And he chokes him out, gets him on the ground, and has him dead to rights. Like, we had RL dead to rights when we were looking at the British talk in this. And
we were like, RL, you flew too close to the sun. You got a Brit to write it for you, and you didn't even cover your tracks.
You didn't even copy edit this one, RL. He's got him. But he's saved by the Georgia as she appears in the doorway. So Georgia shows up. Georgia, what's her last name? Boonshoft? Not made up last name.
Either Boonshoft or Boonsoft. I don't know.
I'm not.
Boonshoft?
Boonshoft?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I only read it in a book, so I cannot attest to the pronunciation.
There's truly no way to know how to pronounce that name.
Yeah, Georgia and her piece of shit sister, Stella.
Oh my god, Stella. Stella is just the worst. So they pop in. First, Georgia pops in, and she's just saying, hi, Jimmy O. James. Love your show. Love your act.
I missed it, unfortunately, but the stage master said I could come back here.
For some reason, even though you assaulted children during your act, the stage master decided it was okay for me to come back here and see you, potentially for secondsies of child assault.
We're already not getting our security deposit back, so...
Might as well put another kid in danger.
Yeah, Georgia has a sister named Stella, and Stella's really, like... shitty and like annoying and argumentative and insulting,
aggressive, terrible person.
Yeah. And George is like, hey, I really like ventriloquism and puppets, you know, I think your stuff is great. Jimmy O'James is like, oh, you like that stuff, huh? Give me a second. And he slams the door on them. And he's like, all right, Slappy, I'm going to put a curse on you. Slappy's like, no, don't. Stop. And all of my strength from the previous scene has left my body.
I'm so scared.
He like steps on him in this scene and yeah. holds him down with his foot. And then he like yeah. picks him up like a, I don't know, like he's holding like a fish by its tail or something like that. And, yeah. And Slappy is completely useless.
Yeah, the metaphysics of how Slappy works, because he can get winded and like he acts like he has organs, even though he doesn't. And he can also get choked.
He can get sore from laying around for too long.
He can get concussed.
That's definitely true.
He just feels lonely sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, he has those weird soliloquies about loneliness throughout this whole book. Yeah, it's very strange.
He looks at himself in the mirror all alone at the small hours of the night, and he goes, "You piece of shit! You piece of shit!
They're gonna replace you in a catalog.
You'll never have love because you don't think you deserve love."
Yeah, this is a dark Slappy episode. Jimmy O. James recites a curse, and he does some magical mumbo. Jumbo, Klaatu, Barada, Nikto stuff. And Slappy is cursed. He will die in a week.
Yeah.
He will be killed forever.
This one is filled with death and dying and some serious, serious stuff.
Yeah, which is cool.
It is cool, actually.
Wait, we don't like this book, do we?
No,
we like this book?
Not at all.
No, but, you know, we have to find some kind of diamond in this rough. So.
There was a T-ball tee set up with a scary ball on it that RL, all he had to do was take a big old wallop and swing, and he missed. He whiffed on it.
Also, to clarify, RL, Jimmy doesn't finish the curse. He's like, you know what? This curse would just kill you forever, but hey, you know what? I'm going to make you a deal. Right? Isn't that how he presents it?
Is that how it worked? I thought it was just that the evil sorcerer made an elaborate ruse reverse curse. I thought that's what it was.
Both are dumb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Curse goes, he's going to die in a week unless he does 3 good deeds and no evil.
No evil. No evil in between. He can't,
no evil.
No counterbalancing it with evil.
But he super forgets that last part.
Yeah. But ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Jimmy O. James foists Slappy off onto the Boonshoff sisters, and the book proper begins.
He does think to himself, is this a baddie move? As he hands them the evil doll.
He's like, did I fuck up?
Is Jimmy essentially saying, like, I'm going to let these two girls, these two dumb girls, be my, like, the devil's playground for Slappy to be tempted sort of thing? Like,
is he daring Slappy to do evil?
I think he's, because he could benefit from the good deeds, right? Like, Slappy could just do 3 good deeds for him. The curse would be off, and then Slappy would just murder him like he always intended to.
Sure, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think he's, like, giving himself a weak head start to get the hell out of Dodge.
Okay, that's smart. He's gonna start the new show up.
You're making him so much smarter than how I read it. I thought Jimmy just like, you know what, why not, why don't I just hang out here for a little bit?
I mean, he could have just like closed him in a box and buried the box and walked away and waited a week for Slappy to die.
Yeah, but Slappy gets out of there, man. He's like, he can weasel out of most of those little boxes,
right? So why not put a child in danger?
Good point.
Yeah, that's the only logical move.
Yeah, you got him.
You have to endanger the lives of 2 children who just lost their dad.
Irrefutable logic. Yeah.
So this could be any good deeds.
Yeah. This is 100 good deeds for Eddie McDowd, but truncated somewhat.
And thus we're put on a path to have the least scary Goosebumps book of all time, because literally the whole point of it is the bad guy is the main character and the bad guy has to do good guy stuff and nothing scary can happen because of that.
Yeah, it tries to edge back into scary because Stella and Slappy quickly become at odds.
Yeah.
And Slappy's like, I gotta kill Stella. And there's a lot of scenes of Slappy just like walking into Stella's bedroom at night and attempting to kill her.
Yeah.
They always end in slapstick kind of bullshit.
Yeah, slapstick comedy. It's not scary because there is murder talk. There's plenty of murder talk, which is scary when you think about it. But then when you really think about the fact that you're in the perspective of the monster, nothing, there's no mystery and no fear. No. You literally know where he is at all times. And
we know who's fucking things up, because we know that the other part of the curse is that Wally is brought to life.
Right.
Yeah, and Wally will replace... Wally has the most to gain for Slappy failing to solve this case.
So the whole mystery element is kind of destroyed. And also, this doesn't end up mattering at all.
Also, what is Jimmy O. James's plan here? Because if Wally is made by the same evil sorcerer and he's an identical model of Slappy, isn't he just going to be equally as evil and problematic for Jimmy's career as Slappy
Listen,
was?
Jimmy O. James has had too much Evan Williams before noon to bother with anything like this. Like, he's like, well, a puppet got me into this mess. Maybe a puppet can get me out. He doesn't have a plan. He needs help. And it's sad to be around him.
And the only person that's got his ear is Slappy, and he's not helping.
No. In fact, he's enabling him.
Wow.
He's bringing him down to his level.
This is a sad story.
Why not order from the good dummy store is all I'm saying.
Get yourself a good dummy.
Yeah. Just trust a good corporation to give you.
Put the investment. Shit. Yeah. There you go.
You know what it is? Here's what it is. He's afraid to get a regular dummy because he doesn't have the confidence in his joke writing skills and his entertainment skills. That's the problem.
And Slappy keeps him. He keeps his confidence low so that he doesn't find a good joke writer.
Yeah. Wow. This one's deep.
So what are the good deeds of Slappy O'Malley?
Oh my god.
He tries to clean a room.
Oh my god, I can't write.
And okay, I gotta treat everyone to this very British paragraph.
Oh yes, Yeah, we're gonna drop a lot of the Britishisms that we read.
Slappy notes that George's room is messy, so he waits till she falls asleep and he cleans it like a good little elf. And the paragraph goes: he worked for hours. He arranged George's collection of stuffed bears neatly in their cabinet. He gathered up all the sweet wrappers, soft drink cans, and empty crisp packets, and folded them carefully into the waste paper basket.
Waste paper basket.
Waste paper basket.
Waste paper basket. Yeah, this is an American book.
Yeah, it was all delightfully British, and I thought we had him. I thought we had him.
I love that they go to this level of effort to change just little tiny words so that it seems a little more British for a kid, even though it takes place in America. They all take place in America. I guess they thought a kid would be confused if they read, expose your kids a little bit, British people.
Think of an American kid reading that paragraph and be like, what? Like, it's not like it's confusing. It's just slightly off in a way that makes you question everything about the world.
That's true. And I was confounded by a term later on that will be coming up soon that I will call out.
So we are at the point where iconic killer of the franchise, Slappy, fears for his life so much that he is doing chores.
Yep, Slappy does chores. That's Slappy's nightmare. It fits the title. We already wrote the title. Here it is.
Oh my god, it's so terrible, because I just wanted to see Slappy getting... I wanted to see Slappy get fucked up in this book by nightmares.
Maybe they got a note after Bride of Slappy or whatever, because like that one was pretty fucked up.
Are they trying to face turn Slappy? Is that what you're saying?
I think they were trying to make him like more t-shirtable. Like, they're trying to build the Slappy brand, because like you know he's one of the few like very original Goosebumps IPs out there, and he's like, you know, really aligned with RL's sensibilities. Like, this is RL's contribution to monsters, is the haunted like ventriloquist dummy.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's everything he was put on this earth to do.
it's just like, I gotta imagine, not that I'm smart about what kids like, but I just feel like the part that they probably liked about Slappy was that he was a bad guy and a monster, and you know, he'd killed people, not I fear for my life, like any of that kind of shit.
They already had that market, Chad, and they had to branch out to the people who weren't won over by Slappy yet but still read Goosebumps books. The prime Slappy t-shirt buying market. And they had to give you one where you're psychically close to Slappy. Okay. So you'd be like, I want him on my t-shirt.
Okay. You're just trying to Bart Simpson him, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Put us into the mind of the maniac. I see. Okay.
Put me there.
Put me there. Yeah, so he does the chores, and he does them seemingly well and goes to sleep happy that one deed is done and he only has two deeds left. But he wakes up to a scream. And this is where, like, they try to work the horror in, like, a blood-curdling scream, which is just not scary in its own right. And he wakes up to find that the room has been wrecked. And the only person they can blame, because earlier in the day, Stella had been doing finger painting in the room and said that she didn't care about George's room. George's room was always a mess. So she came in there to do her dirty stuff and make it dirtier and keep her room clean. So there's paint everywhere. Things are torn and trashed, and the whole room is covered in paint. And only one suspect fits the bill here, and that's Stella.
I guess this is Wally. This is actually Wally messing up George's room. But I don't get how good deed is measured in this universe, because he still did something. Sloppy still did something good. He still helped a person. No one would ever know it was him. But also, I don't get how the good deed is undone. But there's a reason why there's a lot of dream logic.
I was just going to say it was dream logic, Kevin. Oh boy.
So yeah, you know, and can you really? Is it really a good deed if you're doing it to save your life and not out of the goodness of your heart?
This is basically what The Good Place tackled with a lot.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. The Good Place was really influenced by Slappy's Nightmare. Like, what if we could just recreate this perfectly with Ted Danson?
Also, like, Slappy has never been stopped in any of these books, and he's so worried about Jimmy O. James saying a couple magic words and throwing him in a chipper. When has that ever stopped him? Come on.
Again, yeah. We got some serious dream logic happening here. Wink, wink.
Yep. Slappy drank a silvery pouch of idiot juice. And this is where we are.
And now we're in his dream ballet.
Later we get a dream ballet within the dream ballet.
Oh, it's wonderful. There's a couple of those. Oh my goodness, those are so infuriating. Stella's blamed. Stella's been acting out. And for all we know, from what we've experienced of Stella, she is a POS and probably did do this.
And Stella's upset that everyone's blaming her for something she didn't do. But we're like, what's wrong with that girl? And Mom's like, I'm sorry that your dad's dead, but there's not a lot we can do about it. So we got to rally together. And for a brief second, Slappy thinks that the mom is onto him, because the mom picks up Slappy and is like, what's this doing here? And he's like, ah, shit, she's onto me. Well, if I'm going to die, they're all going to die.
Take him down with me.
Pretty funny.
It is funny how many times he talks about murdering everyone in the house in this book.
It's funny that we're watching a family fall apart from like the perspective of evil Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah.
Next prank.
Yeah, next prank. Georgia takes her ventriloquist skills across the street to help her posh friend Maggie.
Yeah, who was injured in a water skiing accident.
Yeah.
Which presupposes that Maggie can afford to have a boat and skis.
Yeah, I mean, she's got like columns on her like porch and shit like that. She's got like a really fancy house, but she's wheelchair bound because she broke her hip. Mm-hmm. I actually like Maggie as a character. I wish there was more of her. She's athletic and energetic, but she's confined to the chair, so she's kind of down. And she finds basically anything funny.
She's very sweet and supportive of her friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, the ventriloquist thing goes about as well as is possible to go. And then
elaborate, please. Elaborate.
They tell a few stupid jokes and Stella's there and she acts like a piece of shit.
Yep.
Nope. That's about it, man.
Well, there was like Maggie's wheelchair rolls downhill, right? Which I was like, oh, it's like Mac and me.
So Georgia gets a phone call and Maggie's mom calls her inside. And while Georgia runs up the hill, we get like a weird kind of Rashomon kind of thing, or we get a bunch of different takes on the same event. Somehow Maggie's wheelchair rolls down the hill and into traffic.
And she is thrown onto the, quote, here's a British term that I didn't know about, tarmac. And I was like, how the fuck did she get onto an airport? What the hell happened?
What do they use tarmac for?
I was like, is their house so nice because they bought it on the back lot of an airport? Is that why they have so much money left over?
Is this the castle situation?
Yeah. But no, apparently in jolly old London, they just call the street the tarmac. Just found that out today.
I think that's cool.
That's kind of neat, I guess.
I'm glad we got free from them. I'm glad we did it.
Say our own words.
USA.
USA. Nothing wrong here. USA.
Yeah, perfect Britain. Everything's good over there.
Our words are right.
So we're all everyone's trying to figure out what happened with Maggie in her wheelchair after she swerves into traffic and almost gets hit and breaks her arm.
Yeah, she has another broken. And they're like, "You're all right." And she's like, "I'm all right. My arm is broken and my hip was broken."
Girl needs a calcium supplement. Is all I'm saying. Like, she's got some brittle bones. If she wants to be active, like, she's got to drink some more milk or do something.
Yeah, she needs some of that D, the vitamin D, baby.
Is vitamin D good for your bones?
No. But she needs it.
This is going great. This is the first time we've ever made a podcast. So this is good. This is good. Oh, shit. All right.
They go home and
Jesus Christ.
Maggie's mom calls and tells Georgia and Stella's mom what happened. And Georgia's mom is like, "I know Stella did this. I know you would never do this. You're too sweet of a child and too beautiful of a child." This is Stella. She's yep, she's been yep. real messed up.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and she says to Stella, "I know that your dad is dead, but no matter how much you do that is wrong, he will not come back to life to yell at you. So stop, please."
Slappy has a dream ballet where, like, he sneaks into Stella's room to finish her off, and she comes at him with an axe, and he gets his foot chopped in half and his head broken open.
Now you might be like, "Listener, that sounds pretty cool."
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But then he wakes up from the blackness of death.
I love that he gets hit with the axe and he says, "I'm gone."
And this dream ballet within what we later find out to be a much longer dream ballet.
Ugh.
I mean, I think it's good for throwing us off the scent of this whole thing being like Slappy's nightmare. Like,
yeah,
this whole thing being a dream,
I guess. Yeah,
because he's like, "Oh, what a nightmare. That was my nightmare. That was me, Slappy's nightmare."
If I just keep saying "my nightmare," you won't think that there's another nightmare coming.
Right. Title explained.
We're not going to go back to that. It's all fine. That's Slappy's nightmare.
Explained.
Took care of that. So then he walks into Stella's room and gets bonked on the head with a baseball
bat.
That's
what really pissed me off about this part is that
because they should have errated it to be a cricket bat. Like, they should have all the stuff in the UK version. It should have been a cricket bat.
Yeah. Well, that was definitely the part that pissed me off, Kevin. 100%. It was the errata. I was just annoyed because it was like, okay, if you're gonna have a dream fake out, he does this twice in this book. Mm-hmm. Dream fake out, and then the exact same thing happens again.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to do something, anything else, and you just do the same thing, except not as cool. It's not an axe this time, it's just a bat.
I don't want to defend RL any more than legally I have to.
Oh my God, but here we go.
This is also maybe good for implying at the end, this isn't a dream, that the exact same events are going to take place, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Because Slappy, like, has the nightmare, and then the consequences are the same in real life. It just happens again. And he's like, "Oh, just a nightmare." And it's like, sometimes, well, we'll get to that line.
Yeah.
I guess the next good deed is on deck, where Georgia has to babysit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because that happened where he tried to climb off the shelf and the books fell on him. Oh, because there were two. Well, okay, there weren't two dreams within a dream. The book, we don't even need to go into it. Forget about it.
Are we at the part with the little baby yet, where the little baby
almost
died?
Yeah, let's just go to that. Forget about the
other
stuff.
Yeah, let's go to Choke a Baby.
Reader, dear listener, if you want to read it and find out the details, go for it, but you don't even.
This is the best possible version of it that we're giving to you here right now. And this is also a pretty tough book to find.
Yeah, you can only find British ones.
Yeah, so Georgia's babysitting a weirdly articulate 2-year-old.
that was very strange. This it was extremely lucid of a child.
And, like, RL has a son, so I thought he might be able to portray a child, but
But okay, if I'll be honest, I was really having a hard time reading through this part. If I had read this correctly,
yeah,
Slappy catches a child in crib death.
Yeah.
So Georgia falls asleep after she puts the baby to bed, and then like Slappy hears the baby crying, and he's like, ah, an opportunity for another good deed. And he walks in, and the baby's like choking on a blanket, like it's got the blanket wrapped around his neck, and
he saves Georgia from being guilty of gross negligence.
Yeah, would have ruined Georgia's life, and that baby would be dead.
And it would have been bad for the baby, too.
Probably not a big fan of it. Yeah.
Hello, Georgia Boonshoft. I am the dean of Harvard. I hear you have you killed a child.
Everything seems to be in order here. Let me just open up this full. Oh, I see.
Let me check your babysitter file. Usually we don't like to have at least one child death.
Once you're on campus, it's fine. Getting here is a different story. You'll simply have to pay much more money.
It's just good, like good satire, Kevin. It's just crazy to me that Slappy, the Freddy Krueger of Goosebumps,
that's what I'm saying.
Is saving a baby.
That's what I'm saying. Is this whole book is just not scary because Slappy Slappy's unwinding all the scares. He's going around. He's finding the scares, and their scare balloons are popping up, and he's popping them with a pin and deflating them.
He's not even popping them with a pin. He's slowly, because that'd be scary.
Yeah,
he's slowly untangling them and letting the air quietly seep out of them.
Yeah.
But guys, if we could just escape our literal minds for a second.
Okay.
And think about conceptually what this book is. It's an opposite day scenario where things aren't scary to us, but the act of saving a baby would be horrifying to Slappy, who is evil.
Okay.
So it is a horror book. We just don't have the right mindset.
Wow.
See, Kevin, I actually agree with you. I know you're doing a bit, but like if this book was written as the funniest, like if you love Goosebumps, you're going to love that the stakes of Nightmare Monster Slappy has to be a guardian angel. Like there's a lot of comedy there you could have. But it didn't play like a comedy. It played like Slappy's not going to make it. No one's listening to him. That someone's sabotaging his good deeds.
Yeah, Chad, I thought the same thing while I was reading this. I feel like this one was an attempt to do something different, to be different in this moment, right?
Yeah, because think about what this scene is. If you reverse it, it's someone is forced to kill a baby so they live.
Yeah.
Slappy is forced to save a baby, so he lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual scene here is like the horror of being forced to kill a child to save your own life.
Yeah, Wally has trashed a room, pushed a girl into traffic, and is now trying to choke a baby.
The Wally thing is just an unnecessary contrivance, I think. And Wally does a really bad job of killing this baby. He just kind of sticks the baby up in some drapes.
Right.
And then the parents get home and they're like, why is the baby in the drapes?
At this point, what do you think Jimmy O. James is doing? Is he just in his house? He's got an eye on the calendar. 7 days of Slappy's good deeds. Like, I hope he's going to make it.
He's driving in his red Ferrari singing Viva Las Vegas, and he's got Wally on the passenger seat.
But Wally's gone half the time. Like, Wally's missing from the car. I'm sure it's fine.
I think in this reality, Wally has already killed Jimmy O. James. Jimmy O. James is... It's just in the bottom of a ditch, and Wally is driving the Ferrari.
Then there's I love that. Then there's no even reason for Wally to do this because Slappy's only doing this to stop Jimmy O. James from reading the magic spell.
He's taking his soul, Chad. He sees it's soul for soul. It's soul against soul here. There's only one soul to go around.
God. Okay. So everyone suspects Stella because there are muddy footprints.
I didn't. Is Stella that small that she has the same feet as a puppet?
I thought about that too.
I guess. Slappy tries to kill Stella again. Stella takes a Polaroid photo, thinking that will prove things, but it just looks like she's posed Slappy above her bed, like trying to choke her. We have a really visceral, bombing a comedy club at lunch scene where Georgia Georgia takes Slappy to school to work the lunchtime crowd.
Well, hold on. Before that even happens, I did want to bring up this one. There is a moment. So they go home and Stella is blamed once again. And Slappy is like, I'm going to kill her tonight. Tonight is the kill night. And he goes in for the kill. And she tricks him with a fake lump in her bed. And he takes a picture of him trying to pull the blanket down off of her to murder her. And then they wrestle. And Slappy, did you notice this little detail about Slappy in this book? He hisses in this book. What's that about?
Yeah.
He's hissing
a lot. Did you notice that before?
He's never hissed before. What's the hissing? Where did that come from?
You know what that is? He's trying to fire his AoE sonic attack, but it's on cool. It's on cool.
Yeah, it's the windup. It's the windup of the AoE attack. You're right.
Yeah.
Then Stella quick traps him in it.
she chops
he's
him.
He's trying to channel it, but he can't get it off.
Yeah, she chops him right in the larynx, and he's like...
I like our version of the book is way better. It's such cool. A better story.
It's cool.
Hire us to make a really terrible Goosebumps MMO.
Please.
Listen, here's what you do. You don't have Wally be in it, and you just have Stella be as evil as they think she is, and she's actually way eviler than Slappy, and he meets his evil match. That's the book.
Oh, that's so much better. Yeah, so Slappy is trying to, like, I gotta be good. Oh, I'm the Grinch. I hate love and kindness. And he happens to get placed with a fucking Damien
a good
child,
son.
And
it's like, the good son.
Oh, yeah. I don't actually know the good son.
Oh, you don't know the good son. It's where Macaulay Culkin is bad.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah, he's bad in it.
Too scary.
Very scary. It's America's sweetheart. he doesn't kill her, though. He doesn't make the kill. He's nearly caught. But then the next day, yes, Kevin, now it is the time for for everyone's greatest fear, bombing in front of your school.
Mm-hmm. Like this was the scariest part
hurt.
For me.
Yeah. Again, she's not the main character of this book.
No.
What if the book was written from her perspective?
What if? Yeah. As we're describing these beats, I'm like, oh, this is a pretty standard Goosebumps thing. Like the kid is dealing with this stuff and no one believes her. And it's just so bizarre to be written from Slappy's POV.
It's your point, Chad. If it did our story where Stella was evil, right? And it was written from, if it was written from Slappy's perspective and she was evil and there was no Wally, could have been a good, funny, absolute, like, flip the script on its head type of Goosebumps book. You have that as one option.
I think there's a lack of faith in the child audience that they couldn't understand. You could do perspective shifts, but I think they were like, no, pick like a perspective and stick to it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No perspective shifts, please.
Right.
You could have done something interesting with perspective shifts, like, and have like this chapter's from Georgia's perspective.
Yeah. Back and forth.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever, man. Fuck it.
So Georgia's doing, the funniest time in the world to do stand up is at lunchtime, like you said, Kevin.
That kid burps and it gets more laughs than her, which is really depressing. and then Wally just shows up, like, And Slappy just drops the I'm a regular ventriloquist dummy bit, and he's like, and he gets up when he sees a purple hat, Stella's like iconic purple hat, and he runs off the stage, and everyone's like, holy shit, that dummy is running on its own. But he rips the hat off, and we find out that it's Wally. Wally's wearing a purple hat, and he's at the school for some reason. And then they fight in the lunchroom, and I feel like it's really like Naruto AMV style.
I was going to say, it reminded me of a WWE backlot brawl kind of vibe, but with food.
Two little dummies just going at it.
They're dumping hot pea soup on each other. Then
molten
macaroni is thrown upon one of them. And then poor Georgia tries to step in and break it up, and she gets scalding spaghetti thrown in her face. It's steaming as she pulls it off of herself.
Numb by Linkin Park is playing at 11,000% volume in the background.
It's clipping.
Points of Authority is going off as Slappy and Wally are hitting each other. So Slappy goes to hell.
Yeah. So Slappy and Wally fight. Wally shouts, "Die now. Die now, Slappy.
Die forever, Slappy." real fundamental misunderstanding of what the word die means.
Yeah. Georgia just kind of like, she scruff grabs both of the puppets.
Yes, right. She does scruff them.
she pulls them apart in her
mouth. She picks them up. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, "No more fighting. I'm your mother now. No more fighting." And then she like whips them like both into a trash compactor as they're pushed together. Wally and Slappy kiss passionately as
their woods merge.
They know the love that they so vehemently fought against for their entire lives in this last moment before death's sweet embrace.
And Slappy finally learns to love himself through loving someone else who is himself. And the universe opens up to him in a final display of fireworks as he's chewed into darkness. And then he wakes up, and guess what? It was all fucking dream. Used to read Word Up magazine.
Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine.
Turns out he's back in the dressing room where we started this adventure. Nothing has happened. No one's gone anywhere. No progress has been made. Slappy has not learned anything from his nightmare.
He's like, "Haha, I'm alive." He's skipping around like so many of these books. And with
the kids dancing,
the protagonists like dancing because they're alive. Mm-hmm. Like, "Haha, I'm so alive. I live. I am invincible."
It's big. I am invincible energy. And sadly, no gust of liquid nitrogen hit Slappy after this.
that'd be rad. And then a pine box shows up for Jimmy O. James. He's like, "What's this? I didn't really know nothing." Slappy's like, "Oh no, what's in there?" And it's Wally. And the story ends with the iconic line by Jimmy O. James: "Sometimes nightmares come true."
Which, like, what?
Because, like, sometimes dreams come true.
He knew what Slappy's nightmare was? How does he know what he dreams? Also,
Jimmy O. James, the magic man?
Slappy sleeps? Why does Slappy need to sleep?
That's a very good point.
Listen, the title of the book was already decided.
It's so infuriating that he does the same thing he does earlier in the book with the axe scene and just is like, "The same thing happens again," and that's it. I have so many questions. Who sent him the box in the first place? Who sent him the box now? How did the person know that he was going to be doing a show at this point and send him... I could continue to ask questions. I'm not going to continue to ask questions because this is dumb.
I usually have a punch up at the end, but I don't got one this time.
He did not care. It's an insult. An insult.
Yeah, I like our version of Slappy is has to be good for a magic spell and he's paired up with an evil child. But even then, it's still kind of taking the teeth out of the most iconic monster in Goosebumps. Mm-hmm. I'd rather still see like Slappy having the upper hand. Though when I even as I say this, Slappy's kind of sucked in most of his books. Mm-hmm. Like, he's cool. He scares Paul. I understand this, but like, he's relatively ineffective in the other ones.
You could do something called Slappy's Nightmare. Okay, so Slappy is having nightmares where he's forced to do good things. And it's like kind of freaking him out. And it turns out like Jimmy O. James is cursing him with magic to have nightmares. And Slappy like turns the tables on Jimmy O. James and like Freddy Krueger's the shit out of him or something like that.
That's cool.
Like that could be Slappy's Nightmare.
Yeah.
Like it's Slappy's Nightmare in the sense that you get to do the "this is a nightmare for Slappy," and then you get to have Slappy take control of Jimmy O. James's nightmare and be like, "This is Slappy's nightmare now."
Oh, okay. All right.
You get to play with that. You get to Venture Brothers the shit out of that title.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Okay. That's better.
Yeah. But, you know, I didn't have to write this, and I wasn't under any sort of pressure. Like, I'm sure this was difficult to do. The RL, you got it done. I'm trying to be nicer to you. After Full Moon Fever, I legitimately believe that RL can write a good story.
That was my feeling, was that maybe RL was so tired from working so hard on Full Moon Fever that he just dumped this book out onto the... He just had a bunch of note cards, dumped them out, and was like, that's a book right there, and just pieced it together.
I think both Full Moon Fever and this one were ghostwritten by different people. The voice and tone and pacing are both are different. I want to do further investigation. RL, listen, maybe you just were, you put all your creative energy into that last one and he was a little tapped out, and this one was just, you know, what if he has a dream?
That seems like a Goosebuds.
That seems like a Goosebuds.
It was a real nightmare, guys.
That was our nightmare.
For those keeping track, the next slappy book.
Yeah.
Because this is the fifth in the Living Dummy saga.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought I was going to have that information for you immediately, and I did not, so I don't know.
The next one, the one that comes after this one, we've read this one, but the one that comes after it is a title that Chad is going to tell you. And he's going to tell you this title any second now.
But slappy, before he does... Slappy books.
What is it?
No, so I was just Googling slappy books. Tell me.
He's going to tell you about it. Before he does, I just wanted to thank everyone again for listening and for those who just say nice things to us and encourage us to keep on going.
Keep on reading.
Thank you. Thank you for being a friend, a goose friend, a goose bud.
I got it. It's Revenge of the Living Dummy.
Yes, oh, okay.
Paul.
Woo.
Woo. Trying to snipe me there,
I'm
Paul.
I'm sorry. I had it sitting here.
It's a Goosebumps Horrorland book. So Slappy's Nightmare was written in 1999. Revenge of the Living Dummy is 2008.
Wow.
Which means it was almost a full decade before RL decided to revisit this classic character.
Mm-hmm.
I've got high hopes for Earth Geeks Must Go, which is the next 2000s.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a Goosebumps book title, to be honest.
I mean, whatever. Hey.
I know, I mean, in a cool way. I'm like interested.
Fuck me up, RL.
I'm excited to see the geeks get a chance to shine.
And hey, if you want to support the show,
oh yeah,
and get access to bonus Camp Goosebuds episodes, we have dozens upon dozens of bonus episodes for you listening, where we hang around the digital campfire and talk about things that are on our minds. I think the most recent episode that'll be coming out soon is very Tears of the Kingdom heavy, if you're interested in that.
Yeah.
You also get to access our exclusive Discord, join our Patreon, and help vote and choose on books that we're going to read next. All of those wonderful things. You can go to patreon.com/goosebuds. It's patreon.com/goosebuds. Your support keeps the lights on in our lives.
If you throw us $5, you basically get an entire other podcast to listen to.
Yeah.
$5 to have your three good buds hanging out talking around you for like a day's worth of time. That seems pretty good to me.
We even have gaps in there where, like, kind of like Dora the Explorer, where you can like chime in. We'll say something and then we'll wait like 10 seconds for you to go like, I agree. Or like, I didn't like that remake.
We should make a soundboard that's got that stuff.
Yeah, we should. Kevin, you got a new game.
I got a new game. Hello, I'm Kevin. I've been this person. I have made another video game, as I want to do. I participated with my friend Joe in the Pursuing Pixels James Jam Game Gam. And after a week of labor, we have come out with a new game. It's called Wizard Laws Are Meant to Be Broken. It's kind of a Baba Is You Like WarioWare-esque puzzle platformer game. Really think Super Try was firing on all cylinders for this one. It's really good. You can play it in your browser. If you go to supertrystudios.com or supertry.itch.io, you'll see Wizard Laws. It's right up.
Yeah, you guys were really on one with this one.
Yeah, I think this is a good one. We're probably going to keep working on it on my Patreon. Big shout out to all the folks who support me on Patreon, me and Joe, at the givekevinmoney.com, because we couldn't have goofed off for a week and made a video game about lighting a wizard on fire if it weren't for people believing in us with their wallets. So that really means a lot. So if you want to check out the game, it's free on supertry.itch.io. And if you want to support our further game making trials, and we are going to work on Wizard Laws, I think, a little bit more in June, just head on over to givekevinmoney.com and check it out. There's good stuff there.
You got to believe.
Yeah. Paul, you got anything you want to promote?
Vitamin D.
Paul's always so humble. Continues on TikTok. Go follow them on TikTok.
we haven't posted a lot there, but you can follow us on TikTok. You can see some shorts, maybe.
Nice.
I'm on TikTok. I'm on Letterboxd at Quantum Theory. I'm trying to stave myself off of social media now that Elon's Twitter is a dead site and I can't use it anymore. Please, Letterboxd or TikTok, come on over and find me. I need you. Check. I don't know why it sounded so desperate.
I was going to ask you if any gems on Letterboxd. May watch anything good lately?
You know, I just watched the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. That was pretty solid.
Neat.
Kronk's New Groove. Had never checked out that straight to DVD.
Sick.
Classic.
How was it?
It's really just three episodes of a TV series stitched together. It definitely feels like that. They're like,
all right,
unrelated, but listen, they got the whole cast back and Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Got Patrick Warburton and he's killing it. And for every reason, he really cares about his dad, who he calls Puppy.
Mm.
And you will laugh every time you hear him go Puppy. And
oh my God.
That's beautiful. Very, very that's beautiful.
All right.
Yeah. It's a solid little watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely shout out to Patrick Warburton. Hope to get you on the podcast.
Yeah. Please come on.
I would. Oh,
we need you.
I love.
I watched a movie called Possession. It was fucking wild. Sam Neill's in it. And I'll just say this. Jen woke up to a part and I was saying out loud, oh my God, it's coming out of her ears. And that's all I'm going to leave you with.
Uh-oh.
So.
Oh boy.
Please watch it.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So follow my friends on their social media accounts, please, to get the good racks.
Cool, guys. Well, thanks again for listening, and we'll see y'all next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We love you.
We love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. This show is brought to you by our wonderful Patreon supporters. And we want to thank the greatest of all the supporters from the Book of Names.
Book of Names.
First we have Stefan Jive Turkey Kuwabara.
Hollis Hornbeak.
Low Belly Hate Me.
Cameron Murphy Audio.
Michael McDowell.
Hey Josh Rob.
Mickey C.
Nathan Dolezal.
Mike Lanteri.
Buddy Morrill.
Ilkade.
Mel Dipson.
Afshin.
Brian Wells.
Dango Twists.
Santicles.
Stealth Bates.
Robert Boone.
Jason Crooker.
Clay Castle.
Miguel Pardo.
John Keating.
Gaff.
New Paranoia Shop content coming soon. No, it's not.
How do you always get that one?
The Juggalobalist. Wow.
Ooh.
That's new.
Gregory D. Warren.
Alan Saylor.
Cody Redfield.
Bradford Coulter.
Aiden pledges their hammer to Dwarf Daddy Kevin.
Ooh, Dwarf Daddy.
Thank you, Dwarf Child.
Jar Jar Slinks.
Chosen One pledges his cadre of musketeers to House Kevin. Thank you, Musket Children.
Levi Than.
Up in Champ.
Jonas Eggman.
Carl.
Anthony Mulberry.
The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
Elusive Koala.
Yanni Markovina.
Brooke X.
Jesus Christ.
Christian Van Skeever.
Drew Applegate.
Jeremy Lowe.
Brian Hobgood.
Zach Connor.
Patreon _ donator, yo.
Joe Spooky Digital Ghost Tierney.
Tom Whittem.
Andrew Jadzak pledges his grizzled empathy skills to unite Chad, Kevin, and Paul against a true enemy.
Oh my God. Andrew Aww. Wood. Andrew Wood. Thank you, Andrew.
Climate change.
Gonna take on climate change.
Just attack it until it dies.
Don't worry, we've got hammers, we've got muskets, we're gonna be good.
It's got a big health bar, we just gotta chip it down.
Chip damage, baby. Lord Cornwallis.
Carson Birkenbean.
Murphy P.
Alicia Grave. That was a weird way to say that. I'm sorry, Alicia.
Tevin Ticklebean, the Chad Swan.
Yay, I got one. Sean Minogue.
Rushy Glenn.
Wiggle It.
Luke LaFountain.
Chip Handsome.
Matt McClellan.
John Barber.
Sarah Kemp.
Tanya Turtle.
Jonas Blotterman.
Juan Jalapena.
Keith Halcrow.
Timothy Misadelakis.
Clay McCarty.
Paul Grasso.
Parker Lee.
Joe, regular name Scott. I was waiting to see how long you guys would let me go with that voice before you called me out.
Ham _ out.
Alex Moon, the robotic dog.
Oh, Raymond Hernandez.
Flemily.
the Crowfens, but a college graduate. Hey. Congratulations. Hey.
Oh my God, it's like watching a child grow up.
Kind of.
Kinda.
I think.
Do I want kids?
Did I have a kid? Matthew Sutton.
Jeffrey Owen Cahy.
Kelsey Kinneman.
Luke Noodles.
Russell Casberg.
Javier Jimenez.
Chris Putrekis.
Scottie Pippen.
Hugh Bolin.
Zambambino.
Dungeon Kappa.
Hmm.
Grand Moff Hamster has located the plaque base on Planet Tooth.
Yeah, fight gingivitis.
Yeah, get it, Hamster. We'll do the flossing for me. Zach Ware.
Limp Duck.
Brendan Arafin.
Tobias Clark.
Meet Virginia.
Nathan Remick.
Need More Kimchi.
Andre Villanueva.
Reed Stupendick.
I'd like to take a moment to just say that Need More Kimchi lives in my head rent-free. Anytime I tell Jen that we need more kimchi to buy some, I have to think of Need More Kimchi's name. Thank you for being there. Joey Evans.
I don't know if anyone has documented the psychological effects of saying the same couple of names every month, but it definitely comes up in my brain too. Estimena, Lord of Paul's Pants.
I think of every one of these names every night before I go to bed and close my eyes, hoping that I wake up the next day so that I can keep making them laugh.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Carewise Gamgee.
This is our prayer. Chris Otherworldly Nightwear Hard-On Nelson.
Swaggy Yolo Squire wants you to know that I love you all. If anybody wants hugs, HMU. Cowabunga.
Aw, bunga, baby.
Cameron Hansen.
Kieran McNamara.
Diet Soda.
Generally Depressing.
The Deadly Bulb.
Jackie Ledoux.
Coleman Laguza.
Lamb.
Ben Bohan.
A Pair of Scots.
Levi Kidder.
David Gray.
Anthony pledges their blade to the Goosiest Buddy.
Ooh.
It's a goose off. Bryce Diori.
Matthew Bertato.
Carbson.
I am Cornholio. I need TP for my bunghole.
Jonas Enevoldson.
Calamity Carl.
Germ Juice.
Nick Johnson.
Boney.
Dr. Diarrhea.
Some of Chad's bird friends, we pledge our talons and sharpened beaks to Chad.
Caw.
I love you, birds. I love you, birds.
Caw.
Nicholas Maloney.
Burger's Wonderful World.
Stephen Day.
Eric Horwitz.
Tiffany Lee.
Dr. Eggdrop Soupman.
Ryan Carroll.
Jeremy Bowser.
Thomas Jancis.
Lucretia MacEvil.
Mutant Astronaut.
Henry Torbert.
Ninja Breadman.
Megan McCormick Mason.
Peanutberg level 69.
Adam Knapp.
Helodicus Frenchlin. Think about that one a lot too.
I think about that, yeah. Aaron Lord.
Dr. Chocula pledges every claw and fang under his command to
yes! Ball. The king of chocolate is on my side.
Bleh.
Logan Derby.
Vampires say bleh. Brad Schmelzer.
They're always spinning things out. Cut that. That doesn't make any sense. Chick.
No, it does. They got stuff in those big old chompers of theirs. Plavish.
Robot Arena.
Callum Mr. Misfire West.
Mandy Nasty.
Skeletorin.
Yoplin.
SSJ Trogdor.
Philip Reynolds.
Chicago Frank returns.
Nate Bit G.
Mr. Unimportant pledges this cool Rocky found to whoever last trimmed their beard.
I did it last week.
It was a month ago.
I do not have one, so I've automatically lost.
I got a rock.
Nice.
I got a rock.
I got a rock.
That'll show climate change.
Ryan R. Davis.
Scott Wable.
Rocco.
Josh Howell pledges his zealotry to whomever needs it most.
That's not very zealous of you, Josh.
Is that really you, Josh?
None of us need it.
Oh, no. We all need it. We all need it the most.
We all need it.
We love you, Josh. We love you. We miss you. We should be playing games with him right now. Mike Spaghetti Jones.
Evan Bowen.
Chris.
Greg Musto. Oh, my gosh.
Sean Astin masters yes. The Gundam Death Scythe Hell Amber by 311 AMV.
What?
Death Scythe killing people to Amber is a hell of a combo.
What?
Okay. Oh, hold on. I think I got the inflection all wrong in that one, but it doesn't matter. I didn't know which proper nouns were which. All right, so Sean Astin is mastering the Gundam Death Scythe Hell. That's part of the Death Scythe. And then Amber by 311 AMV. Okay. Yeah. I'll remember it.
Locked
I think it. I honestly, not to tell you, Sean Astin, I think I'm original would have worked a little bit better for that one. Soggy Newspapers.
Chris Kulik.
Dakota Kemp.
John W.
Hi, first time, long time.
Ellie Rose.
Sprinkle Buds.
Hilda B.
Saturn Video.
Kiwi of Lerv.
Serial Killer X.
Wade Norcross.
Liam Rogers.
Ollie _ Suts.
Kate the Great.
Mike Hart.
Kit Bush.
Benjamin Luther.
Sierra Sin.
Cassandra Harris.
Gulliver.
Dennis Wright. Oh, it's not as spooky as the name.
Yova the Moon.
Edgars Crassus.
Cameron Gensveld.
That last name was my favorite.
Soap.
Big Nick Lane.
Kira and Brian are big fans.
Matt Septor.
Greg Gervasi, a.k.a.
Vita Zed.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Greg.
The Office of the Goblin Grader.
Blake Bad Time Havin' Cavin.
Chad's Balzac on the attack in the new Eminem track tonight at 11.
I don't really know how Eminem works his way into this, but I'm glad he's here.
I didn't know you had a tanuki sack going there, Chad.
Yeah.
Anthony Rodriguez.
B.
I feel like Eminem would be really tickled by the idea of Tanukis if he knew what they
were. I think so, too. He'd rap about them fast.
Yeah.
That's a hot coffee pot. Dan Antonio.
Philip OG Quicksand Truther and Blade Pledger Hamill, the first Blade Pledger.
Wow.
Maybe.
Jeff Webb is still a big baby, but we both sincerely appreciate your well wishes.
Would love an update on Jeff Webb's situation.
Alpaca acquaintance, DDS.
S.
Turaku, the thing that goes doink in the anime. All together now.
Doink. CM, Crystal Maiden.
Farah.
Whoop. Spencer Y.
Jesse.
Chris Curto.
Cole Gleason.
James Stavranos.
Bjarn Deer.
Tanier Hud.
Jesse Boggs.
Did Robbie's mom say that one? Michael Malloy.
Chris, the official Goosebuds chronicler and Ledger Man Byers.
Hell yeah.
Kyle O'Neill.
Greb Comics.
Goon Cahoots.
Adam Brundle.
Babette pledges her feasties to Paul.
Yeah.
She makes the best feasties.
Anthony Stoker.
Dog Lips Kajoyan.
Gunnar Toland.
Brony Danza.
Max.
Zindane.
Hurt. A.K.A. Cyberbolt.
Don't do that.
Crank 2 High Voltage. Hell of a movie.
Brandon Nichols.
Angelo Edward Longton Santone pledges the Holy Blade of Justice to Paul.
I have the Holy Blade of Justice.
You got all the blades. Smelodies.
Blarbin pledges his insect glaive to Kevin.
Yes.
Is that a Monster Hunter weapon?
Strike down global warming. funny.
Just laugh. Talene Jones.
Bacon.
Logan Kilgus.
Bosferatu.
Nice. Whoa. Starship 9.
Munch Squad.
And welcome to the Book of Names. New names starting with Caleb Snyder, Grandmaster of Spells and Enchantments, who pledges his wizard staff and ancient tome to Paul.
Wizardry and the Holy Blade? Climate change is screwed.
Might as well forget about climate change because it's over.
Time to climate change its name to Dunchain. What?
What?
Welcome. What? Hello, Illumo Nuva.
Welcome, Brian Judith.
Welcome, a tall glass of dumb bitch juice.
Oh, we got welcome into the clubhouse a proper spaceman.
We welcome Bobby of the Eastwood, Unlockener of Worlds.
The unlocking begins.
The unlocking. Start the unlocking.
Hello and well met, Joseph Lavers.
Hail, Volsoy.
Hey, Ray Thompson.
Salutations, Brian Storo.
3 a.m. sleep, may your days be long and your hard shits few.
And let us close out the book with the most powerful name that is currently being read by me, Colin Reagan.
Oh, the light has grown so strong.
Thank you also very much. We love you.
Thank you.
Fight climate change.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.